Sorry, I thought I was going to start on time today. There are handouts. John Isaac is handing out the handouts, right? They're on the back row. Are we recording already, Sean? Are we recording already? Okay. Maybe a minute early, but that's all right. There'll be dead space at the beginning. People think I've fallen asleep. So if you want to look up 1 Corinthians 12, actually it's in your outline, 1 Corinthians 12, so look up instead Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, because we've got 1 Corinthians on page 2 of the outline. Acts chapter 2. So we talked last week, was it last week? 2 weeks ago. Last week was Easter, right? About the church, the local church, the global church. We talked about the difference and the interrelationship of those terms. We also talked about the importance of the church. And so today I want to talk about the role of the local church and what its purpose and what we are called to do with respect to the local church. So we're going to look at Scripture. We're going to look at Acts chapter 2 to start. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And many of you have seen this before, but it's the New Testament church right at the beginning, right after Pentecost. The outlines are on the back row, the seat right as you come in. So Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, where it says, "They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved." So what do we see about the New Testament church, this church right after Pentecost that was taking place here in Jerusalem? What are the characteristics of this church? Unity. They were living together as family. They were spending time together as family. There's one, maybe it's later, where it talks about breaking bread in their houses, but also breaking bread together. Yes, thank you very much. Don't let me forget, I've got a handout at the end. So hopefully together we'll remember. But what are the other characteristics of this New Testament church?
Prayer.
Praise. They're certainly worshiping together.
Sharing their possessions.
Does this mean they're living as a commune or in that sense of living together? I think when you look at other characteristics, there were some who had houses and sold and gave the proceeds to help others who had need, but it didn't say they were all selling all their property. And when you have Ananias and Sapphira, it was like, it was your property, you didn't have to sell it, it was what you lied about it that was the sin in their life. So I think it was they were taking care of each other, and there was no one in the church who had need as a result, because they saw the need, those who could meet the need took care of that need. So that's how I would interpret it. when you look at all the other scriptures together about the New Testament church. But what else? Yeah, biblical proof for charity and caring for others when you're able to meet the needs. I mean, it was in what's the Proverbs that you know when you have it in your hand, to share with those. If it's in your don't withhold it if it's in your hand to provide. And it's like voluntary, right? Right. Their heart was to do this. This was a picture of the way the church, I think, should look. Being in unity, devoting themselves to the teaching and fellowship, breaking of bread and prayer, and having that sense of awe and wonders and signs. Dave was talking about our true desires. You know, when you look at God's command, or love the Lord thy God with all the heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself, all commandments are wrapped up into those commands. If we could live that way, this would be our attitude. And we'd be able to conquer sin because we'd be relying on God for that. So what are some of the things the local church provides? we might as well look at 1 Corinthians. Well, we'll look at it later. 1 Corinthians 12:12-27, talking about the body, the local body. But what are some of the things? The first thing I have listed here is the opportunity for corporate worship with other believers. Acts 20, verse 7, where it says, on the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them, intending to leave the next day, and he prolonged his message until midnight. This is where the kid fell out of the window and died, and they took him up, and he came back to life. But, you know, Paul's sermon just went on a little too long. But can we worship on our own? Yeah. I mean, I woke up today, looked out, and thought, this would be a great day to worship on a golf course. But for the frost delay. But, you know, what are we commanded to do? You know, when we look at 1 Corinthians 10:31, sure, we worship on our own, because it says, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. We're always to be worshipful, always to be worshiping God in our activities. But are we commanded to worship with other believers? Hebrews 10:24-25. Can somebody read that? It's in the outline. Hebrews 10:24-25. You mind reading it? So, are we to worship together? Is there an example in Scripture, besides this command, about worshiping together, corporate worship? I mean, why do we worship the way we do on Sunday morning? Why do we have worship service this way? What brought that about?
Well, I think we encourage each other.
Right. Gathering together, encourage each other, and stimulating with love and good deeds for each other. That can be done as we assemble. It could also be done individually, but there is this idea of, you know, we talked about the importance of the church. You know, who are called to be a part of the church? God's people, believers. You know, when you look at God's adding them day by day, it's those who are being saved. Those who were becoming believers were added to the church. So the importance of the church being a place for believers to gather and serve, worship together and serve, is, you know, throughout Scripture, example after example, in the Old Testament of worship and the commands of what worship was to be like, in the New Testament, the way the church gathered together, heard the preaching, and then encourage each other provided each other's needs and also went out to boldly preach the gospel, but took care of each other in that way of gathering together. But one purpose was for corporate worship, to worship together, to be encouraged in their worship together, to hear the word of God preached, to encourage through song and hymns and spiritual songs. This is what we are to do as Christians. We're called to be a part of the body. And how can you be a part of the body if you're not gathering together with other believers to worship and to serve? This opportunity for spiritual growth and accountability in Hebrews 10:24, like we just said, the church provides that opportunity, because when you look at instructions to church leaders, what are the church leaders, what is the church to be doing for those believers? Shepherding. How can the church know the needs of the believers if they're not a part of the church, if they're not coming as a part of the church? What else is the church to be doing? As what is our purpose statement? It's in the bulletin, right? Right, equipping saints for the ministry, spreading the gospel, prayer, making disciples. How do we do that as a group, as the church, providing those ministries to believers as we gather together and share and grow spiritually and have accountability? Because the other purpose of the church is for us to, part of shepherding is accountability, is to be there to counsel, to assist in the time of need. I don't know if you've seen the announcement what next week's Sunday school lesson is, but we've got a guest speaker coming in from Harvest USA, the head of Harvest USA, speaking on, sexual sin and freedom from sexual sin. I'd encourage all of us to encourage each other to be here next week as we hear, because I think it'll give you a better picture of what people are facing in the world, what our youth are facing in the world today, and what God's Word says about conquering that particular sin, and how we can have strength from each other and from the church as we face specific and general temptations and the battle over sin. Well, next Sunday school, someone's going to be talking about that, and I think there's even been volunteers for nursery to provide, make sure we have nursery coverage for those parents who want to be in here for Sunday school together to hear that. I think it's important, whether you have young kids who are about to face those types of issues, whether you have teenagers, whether you have older kids, or whether you're just living in the world and want to see what and be reminded of what God's word says about sexual sin and conquering that sin. So anyway, I'd encourage you to be here. And then the next two Sundays, John's going to be teaching on science and God's Word. And then Mother's Day, where we're giving the mothers a day off from Sunday school, and the husbands a day off so they can get dinner ready for Sunday school. It takes us longer to get dinner ready, is my theory. But anyway, so after today, I'll be back in 4 weeks from today to talk more about what we're going to close out this Sunday school class about the church family, or the Christian family. We're ending, as you know, about church family. And at the end, the thing I'm going to hand out are our church vows, our membership vows, because I think the last 4 weeks we're going to look at each of those vows and what they mean, and trying to draw them out of what it means to be a church member, a member of this church, what it means to be a part of a local church, and what that opportunity is. So we have opportunity for spiritual growth and accountability. But then the next one, support in time of difficulty and distress. Romans 12:15 is the one verse I pulled out, which says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And then pulling one verse out of the 1 Corinthians body passage that we'll look at later, 1 Corinthians 12:26 says, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one is honored, all the members rejoice with it. This idea of being so much part of a family, you're part of the church body, that you feel the rejoicing and suffering of each other. You know, think about it. When your foot hurts, you know, your whole body is impacted. You know, when your back hurts, your whole body is impacted. When you can't see well, your whole body is impacted. And so when we have a member who's suffering, like Steve or Pat or Tom or others who are going through the health battles, or you know, Jan Horst, who I hadn't heard, has her father passed? Or okay, he did. Okay, I knew he was about to. When we have a member who suffered a loss of a you know, death in the family, we suffer with them, we weep with them, we feel their pain, and in that way we can encourage and lift each other up. I don't know what I would do without the church and being a part of a church as we went through struggles for years when we first started coming here. So both with health and life, as we've talked about a few months ago. But that's the support in time of difficulty and distress. Certainly Christ is there with you no matter where you are. Because if you're in the darkest prison and can't worship with fellow believers, Christ is there with you. We can lean on him. But he provides fellow believers and the church to fulfill that support, that need, so we have others who can stand with us to exhibit Christ's love for us. And then opportunity for service to others. Again, Hebrews 10:25. You know, we could go on and on about what opportunities we have as service to others, but what ministries are there that, you know, we talked a couple weeks ago about this opportunity to be a part of the local church is an opportunity to serve others, you know, to be in a ministry. Because is every believer, does every believer have a part, a gift, a role, a job, if you will? You know, we talked about, at the very beginning of this, we talked about our blood relatives, our family, you know, our husband, wife, parents, children. We talked about our roles and responsibilities as members of a family. Well, do we have roles and responsibilities as members of a body, of a church? Yeah. And, you know, it's easy to attend and be a part in the sense of we can participate in the, I saw one example of, you know, we have all these sporting events, you know, the Orioles are now playing, the golf Masters Championship Day is today. You know, we have these huge battles going on, and we can root for the person we want to win or the team we want to win, and we feel a part of when they win or when they lose, right? But were we really a part of that? You know, to really feel a part of that, you've got to be the one who's out there doing, you know, being a part of doing the service, being the ministry, being here as a participant or a spectator. You leave so much on the table, if you will, of what God's blessings are for you as you serve in what God has you to serve in. Yes?
Yeah, that principle is what's behind our gifts assessment.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Yeah. So, yeah, I definitely would encourage you. That's still available as a ministry. Some are able to walk you through, and it's not a lot of time off of your busy schedules to be able to do that. You fill out a questionnaire. You have two people who know you well fill out a questionnaire, and it's not hard answers. It's not hard questions. You know, it's not like essay or anything. But and then someone else can guide you through what that leads us to, and I've done it. I found it very helpful and revealing, and in some ways surprising. That helped me focus on what God was leading me to do at that time. And it may change. Your gifts may change over time, or you may have many gifts, and God wants you to use these at this particular time, and another time others. So that opportunity for service to others is what the church, the local church, provides. And then opportunity to obey the command of the Lord. Does God command us to be a part of a church. And we looked at Hebrews 10:25. You know, be a part of the believers, the body of believers, in this case the local believers. Can somebody read Ephesians 3:21, which is the next? Actually, Ephesians 3:21 and Ephesians 5:25 to 27. Chuck, do you mind reading that? The next two passages? I'm sorry. Okay. Okay, it's it. There, you can use the outline or the book, whichever you prefer. Ephesians 3:21 and then Ephesians 5:25 to 27. It's those two passages. Yes. Okay. And then, Rhonda, could you read the next one? Ephesians 4:11 to 16.
And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, and the equipping of the saints for the work of service, the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the craftiness and deceit of schemes. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love.
So, are we commanded, are we instructed in Scripture to be a part of a local body of believers, to be a part of the church? Yeah, why do I think these Scriptures say that? Or why do you think? Don't tell me what that you want the teacher wants you to say. Do you think these passages tell us that? And if so, why? And maybe there are other passages that you've used that you believe teach us that. Yeah, Mike.
So, what's being taught here is that we're part of the church of Christ. So that means that, you know, the manifestation of that in the local, in your local community, is that you're part of that body there, but you're also part of the broader church of Christ as well. So,
right. Right, right. And can we fulfill that role on our own, outside of a local body? Right, right. Pete, you said something to me before, this called to be a part of, you know, called to be a believer, but I don't know if you want to, if you can repeat that.
Well, I guess I was talking to Ariel, I said the whole idea of what we talked about 2 weeks ago, we talked about today, really important. Look at how we're referred to in Ephesians 3 and Ephesians 5. We're referred to corporately. We are the bride of Christ. You know, we are the Israel of the Old Testament. We are God's people. We are separate from those who are not God's people. Called to be part of God's people. We're not called as individuals. In our American culture, we tend to think of ourselves as all individuals. People say, well, you know, you can't choose your family. We kind of joke like that. Well, the same thing in being a believer. We are part of, it's not a voluntary association. You can join an individual church as part of a voluntary association, but you are not called apart from the church. You're called to be part of the church. That's a very important.
Yeah, and I think it's this idea of, okay, sure, God calls us individually to be believers, but what are we then to do? Are we then to be on our own, or has God called us to be a part of something, and why? Well, for these reasons. You know, we're, if not only are we losing out not being a part of a fellowship of believers, but the believers, that group of believers is losing out because they're not getting being able to have advantage of your gifts and your service. So what is, I say, a primary characteristic of believers, and I've chosen Psalm 1:3, but, you know, Psalm 1:3 says, "He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of waters, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whenever he does, he prospers." You know, this idea of believers in Psalm 1, this happened to be the first passage that I learned as a kid when I remember doing a lot of memorization when I was little. And sometimes I think we don't make an emphasis like we should on that. Of course, we also each have a different version of Scripture, probably, which makes it difficult when we have memorization. But choose one for your family and encourage each other to memorize Scripture using that version so it's not so confusing. You get the words and they have the, you know, you don't have that stuttering and you're all reading from the same passage, same words. I think it's helpful, as especially in family devotions. But this idea of we're to be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of waters. How does a tree grow? You know, what is important for that tree to have for it to grow?
Water.
Sunlight. How does it get the water? Its roots. It sets down roots and digs them in deep and, you know, sets there and establishes itself in that position in the sense of being firmly rooted, and in a sense, in Christ. But I think also, when you look at Ephesians, how does that take place but through the church, through others, through the gifts of others who help us grow spiritually and help us become no longer children tossed to and fro, but speaking the truth and being fitted together and supplying each other's needs so we're properly working as a body, building up itself in love and unity. That's, I think, what you see in the New Testament church as an example and in Scripture. So, you know, what is the role of the believer in the local church? I've got several things listed here, but commitment to faithful attendance, regular prayer for the body. You know, I'm pulling from Acts 2, 42 to 47. Financial support, help with the conduct of the business of the church, personal participation in meeting the spiritual and physical needs of the members of the church. And does Scripture say this? So how do we support the church? One thing, you know, I think we sometimes forget to speak well of the church. You know, your family, when you speak to your family, when you speak to the church family and the community, I think they need to see you speaking well of the church. That means you never have a comment that is in any way critical or instructive or helpful in raising an objection or question. Are we to sit there as sheep? Yes. But are we to sit there as sheep where we have no voice in the church? Just follow leaderships blindly, you know, following the decision. Now, but this idea of speaking well of the church, 1 Corinthians 1:10 is the next passage. Annie, would you mind reading 1 Corinthians 1:10? I skipped you, I'm sorry.
"Now I exhort your brethren by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that you all agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment."
How does that take place? We've missed several weeks, yes.
I think that's one of the most difficult things for Christians. When you talk about the church, you can talk about it as a local congregation, which are split up among denominations. Do we feel the same way about our Catholic brethren or our Methodist brethren or whatever, or are we constrained to the PCA?
Mm-hmm.
I think that we aren't quite to the, well, I guess we've gotten over the place where Christians were actually fighting among themselves.
Killing each other.
The Muslims are now between
right.
the Shiites and the Sunnis, but there was a time when they did.
Sure. Yeah, well, I think true believers, those who believe the gospel, believe that salvation by faith alone and Christ alone, not through works, you know, those foundational doctrines that we hold to and we see taught in Scripture is the importance to determine who are true believers. But in this sense, I'm talking about our local church. What are we commanded to do? In this sense, that there be no divisions. You know, this is Paul writing to the church at Corinth, instructing them as a local church not to have divisions, but be unified in mind in their service in the same judgment. And, you know, how does that take place? You know, one of the things I wanted to get into was dealing with conflict and dealing with reconciliation and conflict. And we talked about sin for some time, but we missed several weeks for the, you know, snow and other things, so we're not going to get into all that. I think that could be a whole class by itself, you know, dealing with conflict and how you deal with, how you become unified in mind. It certainly doesn't mean you all have to agree on everything. It certainly, because, you know, how do we reach decisions without knowing where the body is on a particular issue? We need to hear from the body. We need to understand the body. We need to be reaching out and understanding, you know, where people are on different ministries, or whether we should have this ministry or that ministry, and whether there are people to serve in that. And so through that discussion and debate, when you look at the New Testament church, I think it is Acts 15, where they had some serious debates going on over doctrine. And then they heard from all sides, they looked at Scripture, looked at Christ's teaching, they reached a decision, and they issued the decision, and there was submission to it. At least, you know.
Each denomination hands down its own rules on
right.
many things.
Sure. And I would say, first of all, look to the denomination's teaching on the doctrines of salvation and those things that we hold as our faith. And that's right. Each denomination is going to have different issues, and there'll be some that are serious enough that we would not associate or participate in worship or other activities with them because we don't feel like they're teaching true faith. But there are others that we may differ on one particular issue that has nothing to do with, it has something to do with doctrine, but nothing to do with salvation or the foundational teachings of Christ. And there may be reason to say, well, there could be, you know, differing opinions on that. We're not going to split fellowship as a result of that with that group of people who are at a different church. But here I'm really trying to focus on what do we do in our church when something doesn't go our way, when something is, you know, something we disagree with. How do we deal with it? Do we go grumble to other people? Do we go deal with it by complaining to leadership? Well, you should go to leadership first and talk to them if you have an issue on that. And that's the way to address it, not to complain to family, complain to other members, stir up strife and dissent about it. Because that's what leads to disunity. Because it's, and when you look at those scriptures, and I really don't want to get sidetracked on that, it's this idea of usually, in fact, in almost every case, it's because we each seek our own way. We each want what we want, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. And in order to have unity, there has to be humility based on Christ's example. And you read from Philippians. And Christ's example was, he was so submissive to his Father's will that he went to death on the cross. Even though that was not, he prayed that it would be taken from him if there's some way, even at the end. But he was, not my will, but yours. Over and over again, we look at Christ's example of, you know, what his love for the Father was his true, complete submission to the Father's will, no matter what that was. And everything he did, he goes, I can't do anything except by the Father. We were going to look at this in our small group, but everybody was scattered or ill, or, and we didn't have it. But one of the questions was, you know, if I read to you this statement about someone that he said, I can't do anything about my Father, I always have to check my Father before I do anything, you know, what would you think of that person? If you just read that in a vacuum, you'd think, well, he's very weak and can't make his own decisions. But that was what Christ was. He was fully dependent on God the Father and only did things that God the Father directed him to do. But this idea, you know, yeah. Right.
So if we're thinking about how we should be stimulating each other to love and good deeds, that's fine.
Yeah, right. And it's something that, you know, leadership spent the last 2 years really evaluating themselves on, are we dealing with things, are we looking at things for our own will because this is what we desire, or are we dealing with things in humility and trying to stimulate others into love and good deeds. And so it goes all the way up and down of from, and leaders need to be the example. We looked at that as shepherding. Does that mean we can never make a decision? And whenever we make a decision and then hear a complaint about it, we must change our minds and change that decision? Or is it we need to look at the decision and make the decision in the proper way, by humbly seeking God and looking at the membership and looking at those needs that are out there, making a decision, but mainly basing it on Scripture in making a decision when there's a question of dealing with something, looking at Scripture first and what commands are, and then communicating that humbly, showing an example in that, and making sure that that is... taught, and that we're bringing people up in the knowledge of Scripture, so we all have an understanding and have unity in that. But then the next couple of things we're going to look at over the next few weeks are, when you're a part of a church, what are the responsibilities? That we're talking about, so responsibilities in the church family, not only of service, but also in lifting it up and encouraging others and speaking well of the church and its leaders and each other, if there's conflict, dealing with it, giving financially, supporting the church financially, supporting the leaders, the pastor, elders, deacons. There's Scripture on all of this, on what we are to do when we're part of a church and that we are to be a part of the church. But I'll leave you with the one question, you know, and there's the last part of this outline I copied from, thank you, Dave, something Dave had done earlier. You see the formatting differently, but the importance of being part of a church body, and we're not going to get to that today. But this idea of what is more important, spending time with your family or taking your, you know, outside of the church, or taking your family to church? Now, I'm not saying you should never go on vacation, or you should never be out of town on a Sunday or anything else. But I think over and over we see, and I know I'm speaking to the choir on this because you're all here, but over and over we see this lack of importance in young families, older families, in families' lives of the church. And everything else is more important. If as long as I'm not doing anything else, I'll be at this function, or I'll be at worship, or I'll be able to be a part of, you know, Sunday school or whatever else is going on. as long as I'm not doing something else that day. And what did Dave talk about? What was Satan's attack? Satan stood up and tempted, led David, the leader, away. You know, what is Satan's attack on the church? You know, I think I've said this before, but when our kids were younger, Howard County really didn't schedule a lot of sporting events on Sunday. They were starting to, but I think everything's on Sunday now. And, you know, what better attack of Satan than to have a different draw than having people come and be a part of their church? You know, there's always going to be distractions, and how important is the church to us that I think we should have the, it should be, I can do that only if I don't have a church obligation, not I'll do, you know, I'll be at church as long as I don't have another obligation. We look at it backwards. And so I'll leave you with that. I will pass this out because I think this may be something you want to keep in your the front of your Bible, or maybe we need to put it in the. This is our membership vows, and so we're going to look at this over the next few weeks when we get back after Mother's Day. We'll be back, and we'll have 4 weeks before the summer break that we'll talk about the different vows of being a member of this church, and look at Scripture. What does Scripture say about each of those things? What is meant by that membership vow? Any final comments before we go? Yeah.
One other responsibility we have is the Berean principle, to be listening to the word, evaluating
yes.
the word. If it appears to be wrong, we need to, you know, challenge that, question that.
Right.
And so as individuals, as part of the body, that's a responsibility.
Yeah. Right. So we do have a responsibility both to be a part of the process in expressing our opinion and expressing where we think, and if we need to evaluate the teaching that's going on. And if we don't like it, talk to our spouses and kids about it all the way home and complain all week, right? No, we're to go to the leaders and question and have instruction. And so we can figure out if it was a teaching or if we heard wrong or whatever. We're to go and question. There's no reason not to question or not to express opinions. It's the complainful spirit that's the wrong thing to do. All right, let's pray, and then we'll go. And then we'll pick up chairs, and then we'll go. Lord, thank you again for your word. Thank you for these people, this church. Thank you for Dave and his leadership, and just for the elders and the deacons that you've provided. Thank you for the opportunity to have a vote on electing another deacon. Lord, just continue to provide, continue to lift them up. Lord, just be with everyone as we go out from here today to recognize why you have us here and to see what you would have us do in this church, in this community. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.